Welcome to Nightlife, a bite-size episode.
In 1947, the designer Christian Dior released a perfume named for his sister Catherine. It was, and still is, a fragrance known for its floral notes and was named Miss Dior. Christian Dior, of course, is a name famous around the world. He was the founder of one of the world's most exclusive fashion houses. But the story of his sister Catherine is much less well known. In 1947, when her brother launched this perfume, Catherine was still recovering from years spent in a German concentration camp after having been arrested for being a member of the French Resistance during World War II. Her story is being told in a new book called Miss Dior, and its author is Justine Picardy, who joins us from the United Kingdom tonight. Justine, good evening and welcome to Nightlife.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
Great to have you with us too. I mean, many people will have heard of Christian Dior, of course, and indeed may well have used Miss Dior the perfume, but I guess not many people know about Catherine's story. Is there a reason for that, or is it just one of those corporate things?
Her story was not at all well known, and I think the reason for that is part of a kind of a greater silence that prevailed in France after the Second World War about women like Catherine, who'd been part of the French Resistance and had been betrayed by French collaborators and indeed tortured by French collaborators before being deported to Ravensbrück concentration camp. I think there was so much shame and humiliation about the role of French collaboration during the Second World War that a kind of almost a collective amnesia had to take hold in France for France to move forward after the trauma of the Second World War.
Yes, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I mean, there are other famous French fashion names and perfume names too, for that matter. Coco Chanel, for example, were on the opposite side of the fence in all of this. But let's talk about the Dior household. Take us back to the Dior children's childhood. They spent their formative years in a big house by the sea, surrounded by gardens. You've actually been there, haven't you?
Yes, I've been to their childhood home in Granville, which is now the Christian Dior Museum. It's on Normandy, on a Normandy clifftop overlooking the sea, as you say. And it's a very unlikely place for such a beautiful garden, but their mother, Madeleine Dior, they moved to this house in the beginning of the 20th century, and she created this really beautiful clifftop garden. Their father, Maurice Dior, had inherited a family fertilizer business. They imported guano from South America. So at that point, when the Dior fertilizer factories in the 19th century were running sort of full tilt, the townsfolk would say, "Ah, the smell of Dior. You can smell it today." And at that point, it was a terrible stench because guano, I'm reliably informed, I've never smelt it, is one of the worst smells.
Oh, no, it's terrible. Well, here we go. You see, on one side, that's right, the delicious fragrance of Dior perfume. On the other side, the stink of bird poo.
Okay. Exactly.
So the family wealth was built on bird poo and not fashion. But the family's fortunes changed a lot when the stock market crashed in 1929, didn't it? How were the Dior family affected?
Well, yes, their father, Maurice Dior, lost all his money in the aftermath of the Wall Street crash, and they had to leave their family home. It didn't even find a buyer, actually, ended up in the hands of the town council. But they'd also already been afflicted by terrible trauma. Their mother, Madeleine, died of septicemia, leaving Catherine motherless at the age of 13. One of their brothers, Bernard, developed schizophrenia, which was seen as incurable in those days, and was sent to an institution, and they never saw him again. And the oldest brother, Raymond, who'd served in the First World War in the French army, was the only soldier in his platoon not to be killed on the battlefields of France, and he was left with shell shock and the effects of mustard gas poisoning. Mm. Mm. So the family suffered a series of traumas, and their father, Maurice Dior, ended up with a tiny little farmhouse in the hills of rural Provence in the rose-growing area of France. And Christian and Catherine spent some time there. Christian taught himself to draw to become a fashion illustrator, actually.
Okay.
And then as soon as he was able, he moved to Paris, and Catherine went with him, and he got her a job at what was called a maison de mode, selling fashionable accessories. And they lived together in Paris in the late 1930s. And despite the various traumas that they'd gone through together, it was a period of freedom and independence, and indeed happiness for them, where they both were financially independent. They were enjoying the freedom and pleasures of Paris in the late 1930s and living together.
Okay. I'm talking with Justine Picardy. We're about her book, which is called Miss Dior. It's the story of Catherine Dior, the brother of Christian Dior, after whom the perfume Miss Dior is named. The Nazis invade France and, of course, capture Paris, as we know, and invade indeed all of France. They take control of Paris. Catherine becomes a member of the French Resistance. This is extraordinarily dangerous. Why does she do this?
Well, it's hard to know, isn't it? Where does anybody find the courage?
Because not all French people did this. No, many French people did not do this.
No, Catherine, when she became involved in the French Resistance, was in her early 20s. And at this point, there was probably no more than 100,000 members of the French Resistance, active members of the French Resistance, in a population of 40 million. And even at the height of the resistance, which would have been after the D-Day landings in 1944, there were probably no more than 400,000. So again, only 1% of the French population. So it was very, very unusual. The first act of resistance that she undertook was to go and get a radio to listen to the band broadcasts by General de Gaulle, Charles de Gaulle, the leader of the Free French, who was based in London, and calling on the French people to resist. And that alone would have been enough for her to have ended up being arrested.
She fell in love with a man in the French Resistance too. I mean, that was also
when she went to source this radio, she met an early member of the French Resistance, Hervé de Chabonnerie, and fell in love with him. And he, through him, she was recruited into a particular network in the resistance called F2 that was involved in intelligence gathering. Mm. And that's what Catherine did. She would cycle, you know, for miles on her bicycle, gathering intelligence on German troop movements, acting as a courier, and then typing up intelligence reports on a little typewriter that she kept till the end of her life. Mm. And these were sent to Allied intelligence. It was extremely dangerous activity.
Yeah, indeed. Was Christian Dior also involved or not?
He was involved to the extent that in 1944, she had been based in the south of France for the resistance, and then she received a coded message to go and stay with her brother Christian in Paris. And he sheltered her at his apartment in central Paris, which was right in the heart of Nazi-occupied Paris. Mm-hmm. And he sheltered her there and other members of her resistance network, and they would hold meetings at Christian's apartment. So although he wasn't actively involved, he was sufficiently involved to have been running a great risk himself. Mm.
She was caught, wasn't she? She was,
betrayed.
Yeah, you never knew who might betray you. But, I mean, she was caught, she was betrayed. What happened to her? She was taken into a building in Paris called the Rue de la Pompe. Tell us about the Rue de la Pompe and what took place there.
It was a number 180 Rue de la Pompe in the heart of Paris, And there she was tortured by a Gestapo unit based there that had a number of French members of the Gestapo who were working there. And Catherine was amongst several hundred members of the resistance who were tortured by this particular unit in a really brutal way. And she remained silent. She didn't give away any names. And in doing so, by remaining silent, she saved the life of her brother, her lover, Hervé, his family, her best friend, who was also in the resistance with her, another young woman, and many other members of the resistance. She was then deported on the last train out of Paris before the liberation of Paris. She was a group of about 400 women who were deported to Ravensbrück concentration
camp. Where's Ravensbrück concentration camp? Where was it?
It's about 80 miles north of Berlin, so in the far north of Germany. And it was Hitler's only concentration camp for women, and a truly terrible place, but a place that's really not very well known at all.
Was it? What was it? Was it one of the extermination camps like Auschwitz or Treblinka, did it have some other purpose?
It had gas chambers, so people were gassed there, but it was also a slave labor camp, so it was part of a program called Extermination Through Labor, where the prisoners were literally worked to death. And that was what Catherine was part of, that very brutal program. And she worked first at Ravensbrück and then at three more sub-camps, satellite camps, which were slave labor camps, as part of the Nazi armaments program. And even then, she engaged in acts of resistance by trying to insert tiny flaws either into the armaments that she was being forced to make or to sabotage the machinery that she was working on.
Did Christian know where she was?
No, absolutely not. I mean, he desperately tried to get her off the train before it crossed the borders into Germany, but it was part of a program called Nacht und Nebel, Night and Fog, and part of the punishment was for those who were left behind, who had no idea what had happened to their loved ones. And very little was known about the camps at that point. It was only when the camps started being liberated towards the end of the war in 1945 that people began to realise the true horror.
So was she still there in August 1945?
She was still there in April 1945.
Right.
And then she managed to escape at the end of April from what was called a death march, as the SS made the surviving prisoners sort of march in the opposite direction to the approaching Allied troops. And she finally made her way back to Paris at the end of May 1945, so after the end of the war. And Christiane was there at the train station to meet her, and such was her terrible physical condition. Her head had been shaved, so she had no hair, and she was so emaciated that he didn't recognize his beloved little sister.
Wow. Okay, so she received recognition for what she'd done, and she gathered evidence against those who carried out torture on the Rue de la Pompe, didn't she?
She was part of an investigation. Yeah, she gave statements, witness statements.
Meanwhile, though, her brother Christian was on the way to becoming a major fashion name. When did he start to find success as a fashion designer, and where did the perfumes come from?
Well, the Miss Dior came first, really, and it's really interesting that so soon after his sister's return, he conceives of the Miss Dior perfume, which he names as a tribute to his sister. And they both shared this love of gardening and roses. And Catherine grew roses in Provence that were used as a key ingredient in the Miss Dior perfume. And he said he wanted a fragrance that was the scent of love. And Miss Dior is a very tender scent, a tender fragrance. It's not a kind of heavy, sexual, sensual fragrance. There's something much more tender about it, a kind of brother's love for a sister, I suppose you could say. And so he has this idea for the fragrance. And then the Couture House opens in 1946, is established, but his first show isn't until the beginning of February 1947. And he literally becomes famous overnight with his first collection, which is dubbed The New Look by Carmel Snow, the then editor of Harper's Bazaar. In fact, Christian's name for it was La Carole, which the Corolla is part of a flower. And he said that he was making clothes for a flower woman. And people took this to believe this sort of idealized vision of heightened femininity and beauty in the aftermath of the war. But in fact, there really was a real flower woman, his sister Catherine, who was living with him still at this point in Paris, who was working as a dealer in cut flowers in the flower market at Les Halles in Paris, and was growing roses for her brother's perfume, but who was forgotten as he became more and more and more famous around the world.
He died in 1957, but Catherine Dior did not. She lived on, and in fact, she lived until she was 91, died in 2008, but spoke little about the years and her experiences during the war, didn't she?
Yeah, she lived until the age of 90, and she carried on growing flowers, growing roses. She died in June, just before her 91st birthday, having brought in her last harvest of Rose de May, the May roses, remained very resilient. She lived with Hervé, her companion, until his death in 1989. She never married him. She remained Catherine Dior, a woman who lived life on her own terms. She was extraordinarily important in preserving her brother's legacy. When he died, in his will, he named her his moral heir. So she kept all his drawings. She kept the contents of his home in Provence, the couture dresses that he'd made for her. And as a consequence, much in the museum, the Christian Dior Museum in Granville, is there thanks to Catherine. She became honorary president of the museum. She didn't forgive the Germans. That had treated her so appallingly. She would never buy a German household goods like Siemens. Siemens had a slave labor factory in Ravensbrück. Or if she saw a German number plate, she would become very angry and upset, because one of the slave labor factories she worked in was a BMW factory producing aircraft engines. But she remained absolutely dedicated to the cause of freedom and democracy until the end of her life, and received medals from the British authorities as well as the French.
Interesting. I've been talking with Justine Picardy about her book, Miss Dior, the story of Catherine Dior, the sister of Christian Dior. Justine, terrific to have your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.